You are listening to the War Eagle Weekly Talk Show. Okay, wow. Starting things off with an ad. I do want to say, you know what, before we get started here, I do want to say that, first of all, this is brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. And, of course, we are live on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Want to give a lot of credit to Jordan Glass. He was just in the studio, and he pulled up the Auburn fight song for us, and I guess we kind of cut it a little bit too close there. But I'm here with Bill Clark. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Great to be here.
Yes, and of course, you know, we enjoy talking about college football. It would be problematic if we did this show and we didn't. You are a big Auburn guy, correct?
Absolutely.
Yes, and I'm not trying to bring up bad memories here, my friend, but last week we had a lot to talk about that wasn't very ideal.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Don't really want to get into that, but we will get into that.
Right.
But, I mean, if I can, first I'd like to introduce myself.
Absolutely.
A lot of people out there listening probably already know me. Those that don't, my name's Bill Clark. Lifelong Auburn guy, family Auburn guy, grandparents, parents, aunts, uncles, sisters, nieces and nephews. A long history in our family of going to Auburn.
Right.
It's just hard to express what it really means to be bleed orange and blue. The people that I spend a lot of time with around the football games, we all know because we're all the same. It's the same as any other fan base. You know, your Alabama fans, your LSU fans. Everybody gets so tied up in the sports, and it's not just the football.
Right.
I support Auburn baseball, softball, golf. Reigning national champions in men's golf.
Really?
We just won our sixth straight SEC title in equestrian. You know, so I mean, I follow it all, and I'm not afraid to talk to anybody about it, including the bad stuff, which we're definitely going to get into. But that's me. I'm a retired air traffic controller. I've been in this area since 2000. I left the area in 2015 and went to Houston and retired in Houston, came back here at the end of 2017. But I've been involved in the Auburn Alumni Club here for well over 20 years, and great group of people. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening to this show that probably weren't aware that there was even a club in this area. Super easy to find. All you got to do is Google Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. You'll find out everything you need to know about the club, including our watch parties and our social events.
Yes.
Just come and mingle with like-minded people that bleed orange and blue.
Right, and that's the thing. Auburn, you know, I've always I'm not an Auburn fan. I've always respected Auburn, though, and that's mainly because they're the counterpart to Alabama, of course. Lesser of two evils, right? But, yeah, I was telling you before we went live today, Bill, I look at your situation, and I look at this Auburn, you know, booster club that's in this area and the fans that are around here. And when you do have history that's actually directly tied to the school and you have family that goes to the school, it does make these moments sting all the more. And Auburn's not some blue blood. I don't think anybody would say that. You know, when you think of blue blood, you think of Oklahoma, Ohio State. They got national titles, you know, falling out the wazoo. But when you look at Auburn, they are supposed to be a respected program. And the pieces were there, it seemed, coming into the season to at least lay the groundwork for some hype. We saw that Nick Saban was retiring. That was a big part of it.
Yep.
But also, Hugh Freeze gets all the more time under his belt with this team to, you know, really put his culture into this team. He's a guy that we've seen have success at the SEC level before.
Yes.
So you crush Alabama, A&M, and then we have the thing against Cal. Well, before we get into Cal, because as you mentioned just a moment ago, it's a loaded slate. You had mentioned something during the Alabama A&M game that really stood out to me. We were just talking about it a few minutes ago. Regarding, it was a blowout. It was 73-3. But leading up to that, there was an agreement made between the coaches that made you raise an eyebrow, so to speak.
Yeah, at halftime, the coaches, I guess, were approached by the officiating staff. And there's a rule that I didn't even know was in place, kind of a mercy rule, where they cut the quarters, the last two quarters, short by 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it. You see it in the softball programs where they have a mercy rule, a run rule. I don't think they have it in the baseball program. I've never heard of it before. But, you know, my take on it was, okay, I understand why you do it. It's the obligations were met. You know, Auburn was not – the game wasn't in doubt. Alabama A&M was still going to get whatever they were getting paid to come to Auburn and play. For them, it was a marquee game.
Right.
But from the standpoint of a fan – you know, you pay for a ticket and you go to that ball game and say that's your very first ever Auburn ball game. You just lost 20 minutes of game time to watch and root for your team. More importantly, though, for the kids on the team, the ones that are walk-ons and dressed for the game, you know, they lost an opportunity to get on the field and play.
Right.
I'm not sure that they did play. I don't remember him putting a lot of walk-ons on the field.
But, 70-point win, you would like
but
to think.
You lost that opportunity if it was there because they cut the game short. So I'm not that's personally how I feel about that game or about that rule. But I understand why they did it. You know, it's in the rules, and they can do it. But it just requires agreement from both teams, both coaching staffs, and they did that.
Right.
But I had never heard of that rule, and that was kind of shocking for all of us that were together watching that game. We were all kind of in shock as to, oh man, they actually did this, and it's actually in the rule book.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would like to assume that the coaches consulted their players, especially with it being during halftime, if that's when the coaches had to agree. I would like to assume that they consulted their players, hey, y'all cool if we get out of here, you know, that sort of thing. But nonetheless, as you said, from a fan perspective, because as I said, we're football fans. That's one of the basic criteria of running a show like this. So we're obviously going to give you the fan perspective. I absolutely understand why that would be a little bit disheartening to even if it's a 70-point win, even though it's a season opener and Auburn was supposed to win. It's like, okay, come on. If you just paid for a ticket or if you just wanted the experience, you kind of got robbed of part of it. That is true. That brings us to the Cal game. Before I say anything, one of the first things I told you, Bill, was when it comes to Cal, a lot of Auburn fans, I think, were disappointed that they lost to Cal. Or embarrassed, rather. It's one thing to be disappointed. It's another thing to be embarrassed. There's no shame in losing to Cal. I think Auburn and Cal both finished in the 6-7-win threshold last year. And Cal is a power team. You lost by a touchdown. There's no shame in that. Where a lot of Auburn fans are drawing the line right now is how you lost to Cal. And we've got some stats on that. I know you've got some of your own, but I'll rip off a couple here. Cal had more first downs. They had more total yards. They were and I think Auburn was less disciplined. I think it was in spite of Cal having more penalty yardage. But also, the two biggins were Cal dominated time of possession and had 5 turnovers. Auburn can't have 5 turnovers against Cal, against anyone, much less Cal.
No, you turn the ball over 5 times, it doesn't matter who you're playing.
Right.
You're giving away 5 opportunities. And the bad thing is you're putting your defense right back on the field. So they're not getting to rest. They're not getting to regroup. They're not getting to get with their coaching staff and figure out what the adjustments are going to be because they're having to turn right back around and get back on the field.
Right.
Yeah, 4 interceptions was not good. Peyton Thorne looked so great in the Alabama A&M game, and then he looked so bad in this Cal game.
Right.
And as we discussed earlier, one of the differences is the speed. The speed of the game was much different.
Yeah, as you would expect.
Yeah, the average offensive possession for Auburn was right at 5 seconds in the Cal game. It was over 6 seconds in the Alabama A&M game. You know, that's an eternity when you're trying to find somebody to throw the ball to.
Right.
That's a whole nother read. You get one more person that you get to look at. And instead of finding that third read in 5 seconds, you're looking at 2 or 3 defensive ends coming down on you, or defensive players coming down on you. And now you're in a panic. That's kind of what I saw. And that's what a lot of the breakdowns were that I watched post game and a lot of the commentary that I listened to. It was, it was kind of the same thing that we saw out of Peyton quite a few times last year, was he got hurried and started making bad decisions, and his fundamentals broke down. His footwork disappeared. His progressions changed. He didn't get as run happy as he did last year. He did have a couple of good runs.
Right.
But he didn't just immediately pull the ball down and try to make a, you know, turn a negative play into an even or a positive play. He just it just the whole thing looked disconnected.
Right.
For lack of a better term.
Well, and Auburn may want him to trust his arm more. We've seen quarterbacks. I remember Tyler Huntley several years ago. A lot of people know him as being he was for a little bit that promising Ravens backup behind Lamar Jackson, but he came out of Utah. And Utah was a darn good team with Tyler Huntley. But the problem is, I watched him. I followed Utah for years. And I watched him. And whenever he would play a bigger team or it was a bigger stage, he would. He would panic and he would tuck the ball and try to scramble because he was a speedster. He would try to run away. And Peyton may not have wanted to do that. Peyton may have insisted on, listen, I need to prove that I can be level-headed, cool-headed, under pressure, yada, yada, yada. And, man, I mean, it's just – apparently Cal was not the team to test that against.
Yeah. Well, he had the time against Alabama A&M, and he showed that he can throw an accurate ball.
Right.
A long ball.
Yeah.
We had quite a few plays that were well over 20 yards. Didn't see that in the Cal game. And like you said, the time of possession, there was 70 plays for Cal versus 57 for Auburn.
I mean, that's a
huge difference. Another big thing, too, was third down conversions. Cal had 10 of 19. Auburn only had 5 of 10.
Right.
You know, when you're converting 50% more of your third downs versus the other team, you know, that extends your possession, which obviously extends
your time of possession. Yeah.
And it makes the defense winded.
Right.
And that's kind of where we ended up at the last quarter of that game. The defense just really looked tired, and they were. They'd been on the field for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about some other teams before we went live this morning, and we talked about Florida State and how, you know, they're 0-2 right now, and both to Georgia Tech and Boston College, they were physically outmatched, and with all the marching down the field, GT and BC were allowed to control the game. Cal was allowed to control this game. And you can't have that. And it does. It brings a very important question of, okay, is Peyton Thorne the guy? Because we'll get into this later, but Auburn, after this upcoming Saturday, they've got a pretty brutal schedule.
Yes. It's kind of unusual. This is only the second time. It's actually the second time in 3 years, but it's only the second time I can remember ever having 5 straight home games to start the season. And obviously the first 3 games we were, you know, pretty typically looking past those because we were expected to win the Cal game. I think the last line I saw in the game was 12.5. Mm-hmm. So we're expected to win this next game too. And then, like you say, it gets brutal. That's when we get into league play. We're playing Arkansas, and then we
– Right.
And Arkansas didn't look bad. I mean, they got beat by Oklahoma State, but –
But there's a shame in that.
It was not a bad loss. No. They performed. They have athletes. They have speed, which is obviously what we just talked about in the Cal game, the difference in the speed. Oklahoma's going to be a little bit faster and a little more physical.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of work to be done in the next 3 weeks. I'm really interested to see how the first 2 offensive series of this next game go.
Yes.
Anyway, I think that's going to be a foundational thing, and it's going to tell us whether our expectations are realistic or not.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, because we can see you be good in a more relaxed setting against Alabama A&M, and we can see you be bad in a high-pressure setting against Cal. New Mexico, I think, and we can talk about this after the break, but New Mexico, I think, is a fine mixture of both, a fine in-between between Alabama A&M and Cal, for obvious reasons. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly. It comes on Thursdays, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., sponsored by Coach and Four Steakhouse, right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust and Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Join WSRE on Saturday, September 14th for PBS Kids Day at Gulf Area Marine Adventure Park. Explore the park during regular hours and enjoy PBS Kids activities from 10 to 2. The kids will meet Daniel Tiger and Clifford the Big Red Dog, create arts and crafts, and embark on a scavenger hunt while exploring the park's exhibits and aquariums. WSRE's PBS Kids Day at Gulf Area Marine Adventure Park is on September 14th. For tickets, visit gulfarium.com.
Here are the ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other contest prize. Prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning and must be 18 years of age or older to win. For a complete list of rules, visit ESPNPensacola.com.
Calling all sports fanatics in Pensacola. Brace yourselves for the ultimate sports talk experience. Tune in to Greeny with Mike Greenberg exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Weekdays from 9 to 11, Greeny brings you the most insightful analysis from the NFL to the NBA, Major League Baseball to college sports. Greeny dives deep into the stories that matter most with his unique perspective and unparalleled passion. He keeps you hooked from start to finish. Tune in to Greeny on ESPN Pensacola and fuel your sports obsession. It's a home run of a show.
The Rich Eisen Show on weekdays after Greeny at 11 to 2 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Listening to the War Eagle Weekly Talk Show right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, sponsored by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. You can catch War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price here in the studio with you, joined by Bill Clark. Now, Bill, when we left off, we were talking about Auburn and, of course, the loss to Cal. I want to give Cal some love because they did play well. It was just a matter of Auburn shouldn't have lost a game, how they did. And we were talking about this Peyton Thorne guy, four turnovers, four interceptions from him alone. And now you play New Mexico, which should be a fine middleman between Alabama and A&M. They should obviously be better than Alabama A&M, but they're a winless Mountain West team that has struggled for years. But Bronco Mendenhall's a good head coach. So this is kind of a question mark, especially if you ask me, when it comes to Auburn's defense. What do you think?
I agree with that. Defensively, well, like we said at the end of the last segment, they being on the field for 70 plays defensively is going to take a toll on any defense.
Right.
No matter how well prepared you are. There's still some gaps there. We don't really have a good edge rusher that I've seen, so we're not putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. The defensive backs are playing well. Just when you're running wind sprints for 70 plays, you know, it tends to take a little out of you. And I'm not trying to make an excuse. It's just but this New Mexico team, I mean, looking at this game and what I know about New Mexico, which isn't a whole lot, is the quarterback play and the offensive line play has got to get better and stay on the field and give the defense time to make it a 50-50 game where the number of plays is even or better in our favor.
Right.
And the first series is going to be – that's going to be the proof in the pudding. And I fully expect them to put Peyton Thorne out there as the starter.
Sure.
There's been some chatter that he may not start, but I don't believe that. I think they're going to put him out there with the expectation that you've got to show significant improvement or we're going to go with a different quarterback.
Right.
And that could be a good thing, like we had discussed before. I mean, it's not a bad thing to bench your starter. I mean, we saw it with Alabama with Jalen Milroe. We've seen it with other teams where the starter gets benched when the performance is starting to fall off. And it usually motivates that player as well as it motivates the backup that is getting some playing time. So if the first series goes real well, then I fully expect Peyton to stay in the game, especially if we get out ahead and we stay ahead.
Right.
Otherwise, I see Brown coming in and giving him a chance. He's a true freshman, but he's definitely the number two guy out of practice. They have high expectations for him, and we'll see. We'll see exactly where that goes.
Well, and when it comes to New Mexico, I think you're right. I think this is going to be the deciding factor of, okay, is Peyton Thorne going to be our guy or not? And it should be. Because as I said, we've got a great performance against a very small opponent, and we've got a horrid performance against a bigger one. Cal's tough, but they're not Oklahoma, they're not Georgia, they're not Missouri. They are not several of the teams you play this year. You host New Mexico, and I think Peyton will look well because now they're all the more battle ready for the Lobos. But also, I have not been convinced by New Mexico's defense. I told you before we went live this morning. Their defense gave up 35 to Montana State, gave up 61 to an Arizona team that only scored 22 against Northern Arizona the next week. So New Mexico's defense is very questionable for me. I think Auburn will be able to put up a lot of points on that. The problem is, let's say they don't. Let's say Peyton struggles. Let's say he makes more mistakes, especially early. I think Auburn is going to be eager to pull the plug on him because it's like, dude, we've got SEC play, as you said, starting up right after New Mexico. We cannot send you into our conference if you're going to lay eggs against New Mexico. We can't have that.
No, and like I said, Hank Brown is – he's a redshirt freshman, but he stood out in practice.
Right.
He was there for spring ball, obviously, and so he knows what the offense is supposed to do. He knows how to run it. He knows how it's supposed to work. He did well enough to be number two, but the coaches, even the chatter from after this week was, in practice, Peyton still is the guy that gives you the best chance to win. It's just when he went out on the field, when the lights were on and the TV cameras were there and the game and it was a game and it meant something, he didn't perform.
Right.
And I don't think they can afford to take that chance again. I think this the leash is shortened significantly, and we may, you know, if he doesn't rise up and show some improvement, we're gonna see Hank Brown on the field.
Well,
now, what that means, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a complete unknown.
Right.
He's been on the field before for parts of series, and he's shown flashes of arm strength. That's what got him recruited, was he's got a missile for an arm. And I think he's a little bit taller than Peyton. I think he's about 2 inches taller, so he probably has a little better vision of the field. But he's young, you know. Peyton Thorne came into our program from Michigan State having already thrown for 5,000 yards in NCAA college. So, you know, that's why this is so troubling as an Auburn fan right. to watch, knowing that you've got a guy here that he's been here before. He's been in these kind of games before. And it's so it's kind of, makes it difficult to watch. But I think that's where we are for this week.
Yeah, I think it's scary for Auburn, and understandably so, to have a quarterback that is like, okay, you know, he looks really good until he's playing the game.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't say that jokingly. I laugh because it sounds like a joke, but I'm being serious. If the lights shine too bright, or if he's on too big of a stage and he starts to panic, or with that increased speed you talked about in our last segment, if he is all the more – you know, rickety as far as, you know, getting that ball out of his hands, and he's all the more gutsy and too harmful of a gunslinger for his own good. You can't have that against New Mexico. I don't think we're going to see it against New Mexico because, as I said, New Mexico's defense is pretty shoddy. But again, if he does underperform, and I think this isn't just in New Mexico. I think it's the case with Arkansas as well. If he underperforms early against Arkansas, they'll pull him out and they'll put another one in because they'll put Brown in. Because if you're going to lose with Peyton, and if you're going to lose by his arm and by his spastic nature under pressure, then you've got nothing else to lose by putting Brown in and giving him a chance. So I don't know. I think Peyton Thorne has the New Mexico game in the bag, but Arkansas is a scrappy team to open SEC play with. We talked about how they just gave Oklahoma State a scare in Stillwater. Arkansas is not a joke. They're not a great team, but they're not a joke. If Auburn starts laying an egg against Arkansas, I think that's when they really are going to say, you're done.
Yeah, the advantage in the Arkansas game clearly is going to be home field.
Yes.
It's our turf. It's our fan base. The stadium would be loud. The time of the game is still yet to be determined, but I kind of expect that to be an 11 a.m. game.
If both programs are struggling right now, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking it's going to be the early game, the 11 a.m. The Oklahoma game, that one you better be prepared for.
That's the jump in the gun, right?
Yeah, there. I mean, Arkansas is definitely head and shoulders above the Cal team and New Mexico and Alabama A&M.
They're
conference. They're not at the bottom of the conference. They're a good team. They're well-prepared. They're well-coached. They have athletes, and back to the thing we talked about earlier, speed. They have team speed on both sides of the ball.
Right.
So you got to find a way to make those adjustments and do something to accommodate for that jump in speed and athleticism. And that's where I'm not sure how this is all going to play out with Peyton and Hank. You know, I mean, it's Peyton's. I like the guy. You hear him on his interviews, and you hear him talk, and he's taking responsibility for the turnovers that he made. He says he's got things he needs to improve on, and I believe it. I believe that he's trying to do that. But I think this game is going to show up where if he doesn't make that jump and improvement, this is going to be the game that's going to rotate him out of the starting job and onto the bench, and Hank into the starting job.
Right. Auburn favored over New Mexico currently by 28 points. That's according to ESPN. I'd be impressed if Auburn wins this game by 28. As I said, New Mexico's offense, kind of scary.
Yeah, with all the question marks now, I expect Auburn to win, but not cover.
No.
I'm thinking somewhere in the 14 to 17 point range.
I've got, and we'll get more on this later, just the specifics of the game as far as final, maybe last-minute score prediction, but I do. I've got Auburn winning by 18. I'll just say that. So I'm right there with you in that regard. I think Arkansas is a good – while they're tough and while they're a scrappy team, I think they are a good introduction to the SEC play because for those who are not aware, after Arkansas, as you said, Auburn hosts Oklahoma. Then they go to top-ranked Georgia. Then they have a – much needed bye week before going to number 6 Missouri, and then they go to Kentucky, who, while they've struggled a little bit, They just got beat up by South Carolina. They are a consistently positive program under Mark Stoops. So this is an unforgivable. Mind you, this isn't even the whole schedule, and they finished the season with Alabama like always. This is far from an easy schedule.
Well, I'm biased. I always say Auburn ends up with the toughest schedule in the SEC.
There's definitely an argument.
But we always play Alabama, and we always play Georgia.
Exactly. There's a reason, right?
And we almost always play LSU. Now, you're talking about three teams that have accounted for, what, 7 of the last 10 national titles?
Right.
Our schedule is never easy, not in league play.
No.
And quite frankly, I like Arkansas as a team. I would much rather swap them out right now with Vanderbilt. Pull Vandy out of the November game and swap the two around and give us a chance to open the conference play with a little with especially with all the question marks we have. But
Vanderbilt took out Va Tech, man. Vandy's good too.
I'm not saying they're bad.
No, I know what you mean.
In the SEC, they're not at the level of an Arkansas or an Oklahoma or a Georgia or an Alabama, but all the SEC teams. The unusual thing about this coming up season is we don't play Ole Miss.
And that is quite fortuitous. I will say that right now.
Yeah, it's that's always been a fun game to go to, whether it's a home or an away game. The fan bases for both teams are
pest.
Very similar in their passion for their football team and the tailgating, the enjoyment that everybody has. I've never had a bad experience at Oxford.
Yeah, Ole Miss, they're some of the happiest folks in the SEC. Oh, they don't play Auburn or Bama this year.
Yeah, that's just crazy. But I understand it because you had to bring Texas and Oklahoma into the league, so they had to fit in somewhere, and somebody had to be moved out. It's just kind of disappointing not to have Ole Miss on the schedule.
Oh, no, that's true. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. This show is brought to you by Coachin' Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachin' Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachin' Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Buying a home is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. Before you tour a home, the real estate professional you're working with may ask you to sign a buyer's agreement, which describes the services you'll receive, each party's role and responsibilities, and how your agent will be compensated, all of which you'll want to discuss with them up front. So work with an agent who's a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, with a duty to honestly represent you and put your interests above their own, because that's who we are.
Attention sports fans, here's a challenge that's bigger than any game. Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northwest Florida needs men in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties to step up and be heroes off the field. These kids need role models, guys who can make a real difference just by spending some time with them. Whether you're tossing a football, catching a game, or just hanging out, you can help a child reach their full potential. Want to join the team? Call 850-433-KIDS or visit bethebig.org. Let's change lives, one game at a time.
Hurricane season is here. Don't wait until your Generac generator is needed to make sure it's in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today and schedule maintenance on your generator. Their Generac-certified technicians will make sure your generator is ready when needed. Need a new unit or a replacement? Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric, a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical and generator needs. White Sands Electric.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. At Costello's, they have all your summertime barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, brisket, pork butts, and so much more. And at Costello's, you will find all the best boar's head sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready for charcuterie boards to chicken salad, and of course, the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. Fine wine and cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to the War Eagle Weekly Talk Show, every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. And, of course, this show is sponsored by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill, all right, so we've summed up Auburn just about as well as we can, right? We've got big win over Bama A&M, ugly loss to Cal, should be decent win over New Mexico. And then we were talking about most recently their brutal slate in the SEC, which kind of brings me towards what we have here on the itinerary for the SEC this weekend. There are several games here that are notable. And even if you have the SEC winning big, losing big, whatever, they're nonetheless big matchups. And we can just kind of file through these, especially considering that we're kind of bleeding into the latter half of our show here. So we'll start with number 4, Alabama, going to Wisconsin. Alabama currently favored by 16 points. What do you think about this one? It's easily Bama's biggest threat so far.
Yeah, I think that 16 might be a little much. I do expect them to win. If it were later in the season and there were snow on the ground, that might be a little bit different. But Alabama should win that game. I'm just not convinced about the 16 points.
Right. I think Alabama's going to cover, but this isn't as much to praise the Tide. You know that, hey, that's blasphemy around here, right?
Yeah.
You know, War Eagle Weekly, come on. But it's more of a knock on Wisconsin. We were talking about this team during the break. Wisconsin, what? They beat Western Michigan and South Dakota, and they beat them by around 13, 14 points each. You had to wake up late to pull away. You can't, or maybe they beat Western Michigan by more, but it doesn't matter. Bottom line is they were in dog matches with these two teams late in the fourth quarter. You cannot be doing that when you got Alabama on the horizon. I think Alabama covers, but I don't think it's as much of a statement win as the Tide would like it to be.
I agree. It's going to be a tough game. It's tough because it's at Wisconsin. If it were in Alabama, it would be a whole different ballgame.
No question. Number 16, LSU travels to Williams-Brice Stadium to take on South Carolina. That game gets underway at 11 a.m., just like Alabama and Wisconsin does. LSU is favored by 7. I think this is the site of College game day this weekend. Man, Williams-Brice, they can bring the house down even when their team's not too good, and South Carolina's 2-0 right now.
Yep, and they looked good against Kentucky.
Yeah.
LSU, man, LSU is always loaded with athletes.
Right.
That's a hard one. I think I would give South Carolina the edge just with it being at South Carolina.
I'm going to do the same. I think if this were in Tiger Stadium, I'd take the Tigers. The problem is, and everyone acts like they're so, you know, heart-stopping. They're taken aback by the fact that LSU's not perfect. Brian Kelly's a good coach. If we learned anything from his time at Notre Dame, he was good. So he comes to LSU, where outside of 2019, they've been good, and they're just good some more. And people are surprised by that. I think they're going to be going into South Carolina. I think that environment's going to be a bit too jarring for LSU. So I'm right there with you. The site is what really makes this game here. And I've got South Carolina winning that game. I'll say 35-32, somewhere in that realm.
That sounds reasonable. I would say less than 7 points, either a three to a seven-point game.
Absolutely. At 11:45, we've got – okay, I'm going to try to not get too vocal here. We got Boston College at Missouri. Missouri is ranked 6th. I think that's a little high. Boston College is ranked 24th. America thinks that's a little high. Missouri is currently favored in this game by 16 points. I would assume – you and I haven't spoken about it at all, but I would assume that the Tigers have got this game.
Oh, yeah. It's a home game. Like you say, Boston College was, even though their record is what it is, it was unimpressive.
Right.
I would say Missouri's going to beat Boston College by 21 or more.
Yeah.
21 to 24.
I think Missouri covers that. I say that maybe they kind of sleep because they've kind of slept on their opponents a little bit, you know, early. So maybe Boston College comes out, gives them a bit of the what for, you know, early in the game. But I've got Missouri winning this game, I think, by around 17. So I've got them sitting at around a spread. But Boston College, they beat Florida State on the road. And, hey, great win for the program. But Florida State's 0-2. You do that and then you beat up on Duquesne, nobody's going to care. So if you go into Missouri, I'm assuming you're going to be out of your element, and we're going to quickly see that 24 next to their name take a hike.
Yeah, in that game, halfway through the third quarter, you're going to see where the difference in the two teams is. I think Missouri's going to stay focused, and they're going to be better prepared, and that fourth quarter is just going to the gap's going to widen between the two.
Absolutely. And then we've got at 2:30, Tulane travels to number 15 Oklahoma. Man, on paper, this sounds like a terrible matchup, but it's not. Oklahoma just struggled with Houston 16-12, and Tulane, though they lost at home, it was to a ranked Kansas State, and they lost by a scooping score.
Yep.
So this, and we've seen Oklahoma struggle with Tulane before. I know it was several years ago, but it nonetheless happened. Oklahoma's currently favored only by 13.5. Do you think Tulane keeps it within the spread, if not beats the Sooners?
I think they keep it within the spread, but they don't beat the Sooners. It's a home game for Oklahoma, you know, so the home field advantage is going to be the difference in this game.
I got to tell you, if Tulane loses that game, let's say they do. Let's say they keep it in the spread, but they lose by 6. We'll say that happens. Tulane's going to be looking like the best 1-2 team in America.
Oh, yeah.
With close losses to K-State and Oklahoma.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that game end up 27-24.
That's very believable, right? I don't know who I've got. I mean, I've got Oklahoma, but I don't know what I've got them by. I'll say 34-21. I'll say that.
Oh, that's a pretty big spread.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Once again, knocking on the door to spread, so I'm kind of agreeing with what the experts are saying here. Also at 2:30, Texas A&M travels to Florida. Now, this is the battle of the underwhelming. Texas A&M, of course, had their upsetting loss to Notre Dame. Florida had the embarrassing loss to Miami. They've since beat up on weaklings. Now 1-1 in the swamp. Man, what do you got?
I like Texas A&M.
Yeah, they're currently favored by 3.5. It's expected to be a close game. A&M does have the slight favoring. I think Texas A&M should be favored. But I just, man, I don't know what to make of them.
I think the Texas A&M team, the difference is their skill players are a little better than Florida's right now.
Right.
The matchup on the line of scrimmage is probably pretty even, the bigs against the bigs. But where you saw Florida struggle against Miami was in the skill players.
Right. And that's the thing. I think Texas A&M is a better-built team. I think they do have a better head coach, Mike Elko, but he just needs a bit more time. Going to Gainesville, they're going to struggle, but I'll give Texas A&M narrow.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of Florida fans, and they're not real happy with Billy Napier right now. So.
Nor should they be. At 3:15, we've got UAB, Alabama-Birmingham. They travel to Arkansas. I think we can give Arkansas credit that they got a convincing win here. They're currently favored by 24.5.
I expect a cover.
Yeah, especially with how they played Oklahoma State and Boone Pickens Stadium this last weekend. All right, I'm conflicted, Bill. I can't let my fandom bleed into my journalism here. I've said on the other shows that I host on this station, I am a Wake Forest fan. Got the hat to prove it. Number 5, Ole Miss, goes to Wake Forest. Wake Forest just lost 31-30 to Virginia. Ole Miss has one of the best offenses in the nation. Ole Miss currently favored by 22.5. Be honest with me, man. What do you got?
Cover, but barely.
Wow. You got to win it by around 24-ish, perhaps.
Yeah. Yep, 24-27.
I think Wake Forest, I haven't seen much from Ole Miss's defense yet just because of the caliber of their opponent.
We're going to find out this week.
Exactly, because Wake Forest has been an offensive-minded team. I don't say that just to stroke their egos. I'm being serious. Wake Forest has been offensive-minded for years. They're at home. Easily the toughest game Ole Miss has played so far. I think Wake Forest will put up some points eventually, but Ole Miss should run away with it.
Well, I look for Lane Kiffin to pull out one or two things that he hasn't revealed
really
with his with Jackson Dart, the way he's got him performing. I expect to see one or two ripples in Ole Miss's favor.
Right.
That's the kind of coach he is. You know, he's going to keep something up his sleeve, and he'll pull it out in this game. There'll be one or two of those plays that you just didn't see coming.
Right. And he may. If he wants to make this look like a statement win, road Power 4 win, that may be the way to do it, especially if you're trying to outscore what has been, at least as of recently, a decent offense. Maybe not last season, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, we got another easy game to pick here. 6 o'clock, UTSA travels to Texas. I think we can agree the Longhorns got it. They're favored by 35.
They look good, too.
I bet they cover it. Well, UTSA is a decent group of five school, but they've had a bumpy start to their year. So I don't know if Texas, if they're just trying to kind of game manage, just get these guys out of the way before we get into something bigger. Texas may not cover that spread, but they definitely have what it takes to. Vanderbilt at Georgia State. This game's not even televised. It is on ESPN Plus at 6 o'clock. Vandy only favored by 10.5. So people still aren't big on Vandy, even after their convincing 2-0 start.
I'm not sold on them either.
Not when SEC play starts, at least.
Yeah, this game is going to be kind of like our game against coming up against New Mexico. This is going to be the game that reveals exactly where you are.
That is true. That's a very good way of putting it. Because if you do struggle against Georgia State, we're going to have a problem. Georgia State was decent last year, but SEC team should be able to handle it. I think for most Southeastern powers, this would be a tricky game. I don't think it will be for Georgia. At 6:30, the Dogs travel to Kentucky. Georgia favored by 24.
Oh, if I was picking with my heart, I know where I would go. Picking with my head, I think Georgia covers.
Yeah, I think Georgia's got that one made. And once again, I said this about Ole Miss Wake Forest. I think this could be a statement win for Georgia. Obviously, Clemson was. But if they're trying to prove, hey, let's go out there and send a message with this SEC opener, they're going to go on the road and they're going to try to silence Lexington pretty fast. I think they're going to try to make an example out of them.
Depends on if Kentucky brings out those chrome helmets again.
Yep. And if you don't, rest in peace, Kentucky Wildcats. At 6:30, also we've got Toledo at Mississippi State. I think this is tricky. Mississippi State just lost to ASU, and they were outplayed in that game. They're 1-1. They're at home. It's a MAC school. It's Toledo. But they are consistently competitive at that level. I think they almost beat Illinois last year. Illinois finished around that level that Mississippi State did. Mississippi State, despite that, though, is favored by 11.5. Do you think Toledo keeps it closer?
Actually, I think that's probably a good line. With it being the home game for Mississippi State, though, I think Mississippi State covers.
I think Mississippi State wins, but I think Toledo keeps it.
It's all about close. The cowbell.
Yeah, that it's a very jarring environment. It's deafening when there's a lot of
every time I've ever been there, I've come away with a headache that takes a week to get rid of.
And lastly here, very quickly, and when I say very quickly, I mean it, Kent State at Tennessee. That's at 6:45. Tennessee favored by 49. That's the largest spread we've seen. You just beat NC State in Charlotte by 41, so I would assume you can beat Kent State by 49.
Oh, they're definitely going to cover. Neyland Stadium is going to be it's just going to be a loud, uncomfortable environment for Kent State, and they're just not going to be able to do anything with them.
Yeah, fun fact, Kent State lost to St. Francis last weekend. So, and they were, I think, the worst team officially at the FBS level last year. So if Tennessee, even if I see a player sweating during that game, we are going to have a problem. 10:50 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sponsored by the Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road right here on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. When we return, getting down to this final stretch here, we will once again just kind of look over some of the basics regarding Auburn, New Mexico, give a score prediction on that, and also we'll maybe talk about just some of these bigger games outside of the SEC that are happening, including some more ranked teams. Getting underway even on Friday night. We got that and more right here on ESPN Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. And don't forget to tell them, Dave Ramsey said, hey.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have five offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
When you find out you're pregnant, everything changes. Every choice now impacts a child's future. Research has proven that smoking weed while pregnant can hurt babies. Cannabis passes through the placenta, leading to brain development issues, anxiety, poor academic performance, and physical problems at birth. Any use of THC while breastfeeding is also dangerous for babies. Your child or grandchild's future starts now. Don't put it at risk. Say no to marijuana while pregnant. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities. Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Paul Feinbaum, on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the War Eagle Weekly Talk Show every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, sponsored by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. Austin Price here in the studio with you along with Bill Clark. Bill, we just talked about the SEC games that we've got going on. We've got 5 minutes here as I speak, so we'll keep this brief. Some of the bigger games outside of the SEC. Friday night, number 20 Arizona travels to number 14 Kansas State. Both of these teams have underperformed for unbeaten teams. Who do you got?
Oh, Kansas State.
Me too.
That's a hard place to go into and play.
Especially, yeah, when you're Arizona and you've shown some flaws of your own. I think K-State wants to prove that, hey, we're not bad enough to almost lose to Tulane. I think they're going to take advantage of this. I got them winning by around 10. Number 9, Oregon, goes to Oregon State. Oregon has been the fakest team, not named Florida State and perhaps Notre Dame. They go to Corvallis to face an unbeaten Beavers team. You think they win that game?
I think Oregon does win the game.
I think so, too, but I think it's narrow. I've got
a three-point game.
Oh, really? You really got it narrow. I got to be in like 31-24. I got to be in a touchdown game. And if Oregon State loses, Dan Lanning and Dylan Gabriel got to take a long look at themselves. Number 18, Notre Dame. Obviously, they've got a lot to prove. Just lost at home to NIU. They go to Purdue. Purdue only played one game so far. They beat, like, Indiana State, beat them like a drum. It's on the road, Big Ten school, in-state rivalry. Man,
Purdue's a hard place to play. I mean, we saw that, not just a few years ago with Ohio State.
Right.
Notre Dame is going to be angry.
I think they are. They got to prove themselves.
Well, that's just it. This is going to be a statement game for them. They're going to go in there, and they're going to pin their ears back with their hair on fire, and Purdue better be prepared for it because it's not going to matter that it's a home game for them.
Right. I'll say weird score. I got 32-13 jotted down here. And then lastly, there's no ranked team, but we've just hinted at it a couple times. I've got to ask, Memphis at Florida State, Florida State at home coming off a bye. Do you think Memphis has a chance to win this game?
I think they may have a chance, but I think the Florida State, it being a home game for Florida State and them having started off the season the way they did, this is their statement game to get back on track. This is where they put the wheels back on the rails.
If they can't beat Memphis, I don't know who you can beat. Cal was supposed to be one of your easier games. We saw how Cal played Auburn.
Absolutely.
Right. So
it can happen to anybody week.
If you lose at home to a Group of Five team coming off a bye week, I don't know where the floor is for FSU. So I'm not going to predict that one. I've got FSU winning it by 16. So there's your prediction, actually. But I'm not going to book it because I don't know yet. It's sad that I have to say that. All righty. Auburn here. Hosting New Mexico. Big game right before SEC play. We touched on this one a lot. For those who weren't here, just a recap, New Mexico, good offense. Defense has its moments, but when it comes up to the points given up by the end of the game, it's not too pretty. Looks like they have serious potential, but it's in Jordan Hare and Auburn's out for blood. What do you got, my man?
Well, New Mexico's given up more than 30 points a game the last two games.
61 to Arizona.
Yeah, I think this is like we discussed earlier, it all depends on how Peyton comes out in that first series. If he comes out and plays like he did against Alabama A&M, we're going to win, and we're going to cover. If he struggles and he gets pulled and we end up with Hank Brown in there, it's a big question mark. I still think even if that happens, we can still win the game. I just don't know if we'll cover. Just because there's too many unanswered questions, and it's going to throw a little bit of a monkey in the wrench kind of thing for the offense, because now they've been practicing with the one, and now you got the two in there, so things change. I really look for improvement. Of course, I'm an optimist when it comes to Auburn, so I'm always looking for the silver lining.
Right.
But I think this is the game where hopefully we get our wheels back on the rails and come back focused and looking like the Auburn that I was expecting us to be for the rest of this season.
Do you have an official score prediction?
Probably, let's say, 34-21.
I've got it being 45-27. I've got Auburn sitting there thinking, let New Mexico score 30. Yeah, but they're a good offense, and you won by three possessions. Take what you can in this. You've been listening to the War Eagle Weekly Talk Show every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road. Thanks for listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM.